Welcome to This Epic Life Podcast. This is an edited replay of a live webinar from September 18th, 2014. Our special guest is artist, author, creativity, and writing coach, Cynthia Morris. Put the ohm in home.
I was walking back from my daughter's kindergarten the other day, walking her to school, walking the dog, and I was thinking of ways that I could kind of ground myself after flying high and inflating with helium and floating over that portion of New York for a few days. I realized that I had to, again, double down on my spiritual practice and my grounding practices and kind of bring all that magic home with me, because home is where we really celebrate all of our wins and all of our development that we take on in the outside world. And if you can't be happy at home, you probably really need to change something in terms of your environment. So, of course, how does this manifest? Well, it usually manifests as lyrics. I don't know. I came up with this about 45 minutes ago. About what that phrase means to me, put the ohm in home, and some of these big questions that people raised on the Facebook wall today, you know, specifically our good friend Christine. Let's check this one out. It's been a week since I showed up at camp. She's meditated 6 times. Let's face it, Monday was a wash. I've written for an hour, practiced yoga, and exercised every day. A+, A+, A+. She watched my meditation videos, got Insight Timer app, joined the pause group, signed up for Cynthia's free thing, bought a juicer. Oh my God, she's going crazy. Met a meditation pillow, made an appointment with a nutritionist. Biggest challenge still, managing anxiety. I was all good until picking up the kids, making dinner, tending to my partner. I had the opportunity to use the tools that Amelia gave us. So here's her worry. She's worried that all of this energy can't last, that I will forget everything and let the negative influence overwhelm my life. The Camp GLP will become a distant memory. First of all, thank you so much for your bravery in sharing this. I've invited our good friend Cynthia Morris to weigh in on this with me. But before I get her up, I want to give you a little bit of perspective on where I'm coming from and kind of returning to normal life after camp. Our big reflection for today is, how can we prolong the magic without becoming overwhelmed or demotivated? Who had any motivational issues this week? Is it Thursday already? I feel like it's maybe second period on Monday, but it's actually Thursday. So I'm trying to quantify what the hell I got done. Anybody else have any issues? Don't be afraid now. Why don't I have my beautiful friend Cynthia Morris join me here? Hey, Cynthia, can I have you share your camera? Hi, Cynthia Morris. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Quissy. How are you?
You know, it comes and goes. Predominantly great, I would say.
It's really weird seeing that picture of me up there and my face and your face. It's like too much me all the time here.
It's a lot. You know, I took this picture of you, Cynthia, when you were looking not uncharacteristically hot and fashionable. And I was like, pose. And you're like this? And I was like, psh. And I sent it to my wife. I'm like, look at how dope Cynthia Morris looks right now.
I'm so glad to be here because I really love helping people focus, follow through, and finish on all their great ideas. And transitions are one of the biggest problems or challenges that creative people or anybody face. And often it's coming back from something, from a trip, from a weekend like this. And it's not easy. And also, just in the bigger picture of, you know, Christine's question, how do I stay on? People want to like commit to a habit and they want to stay on track. And the truth is, most of us get on and then fall off. And you'll get on and fall off. So that's generally the norm. If that's the norm, let's just adapt to that rather than beating ourselves up when we fall off. So really the game isn't like stay on and hold on with as tight of a grip as possible. It's more like, what are the simple practices that get you back on without any mental thrash?
Sure.
So I hope to offer some of those today.
I cannot wait. And one of the things that I took away from Christine's note, and tell me if you've seen any of the same thing, is that a lot of us get really obsessed with knowledge acquisition, meaning that we want the next book, we want the next meditation pillow, we want to empower ourselves to do all those great habits. when in reality, where we need to spend most of our time is on the knowledge application piece, which is the harder piece. It requires discipline. It requires showing up. And then if we miss one day of meditation, we miss any of those things. I just want to give a lot of compassion to anybody who's feeling that way, that it's not any type of pass fail or, you know, we have to, you know, put these habits into place right away. Yes, we want to create rigor and discipline in our habits, but not at the expense of living an overstructured, rigid life where we don't forgive ourselves. Do you see that a lot working with creative people?
Well, abuse is not the way, self-abuse and abuse from others is generally not the way to get those habits going in any way that feels right. My good friend Robin Hallett made a beautiful post yesterday about kind of not going dark side. And the fact is, I'm sure most of us went dark side this weekend. I know I was hiding in my room at some point having to make the decision, do I like stay in here and go fetal ball or do I go back out there and be with the people?
And go fetal ball if you want.
And go fetal ball on the color wars field.
Yeah.
But so again, we're going to go there. We're going to get tripped up by our stuff. Being in a large group of people is going to trigger all kinds of stuff. And if that's not you, then more power to you. The trick is not to stay there. And what I've observed by the people who are positive and happy and feel good about their lives like you, Christopher, is you go there, you'll be there, you acknowledge it, but you don't stay there.
Right.
And so one of the ways to deal with overwhelm and thrash when you come home is to just don't get in that rut of the mud. Don't go off into the weeds and stay there. Work, like, put your energy toward just get yourself back on focusing on what's right about you, what you care about, who you are, and what you're up to. So that will save you a ton of that mental and emotional churn is to just, I mean, get help to go out of it or snap out of it as quickly as possible.
You know, I wouldn't be a human being if I didn't say that I have definite waves of storms that pass through where I'm an absolute grumpy prick. I mean, ask my wife. You know, she has a front row seat for all of this magic. Ask Shelley Adele during, like, the first few minutes of the talent show when I realized, like, oh, I guess I am running sound. Awesome. You know, I didn't plan ahead to run sound. I wanted to MC. Like, I wanted to be up there with Amelia, too. Like, I want my moment to shine. But then I turned to her and I was like, Shelly, I'm going dark side. And she did the most, Shelly Dell, you did the most amazing freaking thing. Christopher, everything is perfectly fine. Look at all these people. They're having a blast. You're part of it. And then she just went right back to the show. And I was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. So I'm sorry. I didn't get much sleep. I don't know about you, Shelly, but I didn't get much sleep this weekend. So I got a little grumpy there for a second. I apologize.
But that's the kind of friends we need to, like, just snap us back. Like, don't go, let's go cry in the corner about it.
Yeah.
You don't disown the grumpiness. Look, it's there, and let's move on.
Well, it's like acknowledging it and seeing how fast you could pivot up the emotional scale to get back to where you feel comfortable. A lot of us, I mean, Cynthia, you've been right alongside me for the last few years doing a lot of this deep emotional work. And when you have a mediocre day, when you're used to feeling pretty damn spectacular a lot of the time, the mediocre day feels like you're totally sideways and shit's falling apart. Like, it's all kind of relative. And you have to work very diligently and maintain your consciousness so you can even know when you're sliding downhill and kind of reorient yourself. Otherwise, it's really easy to kind of slip into that funk.
Yeah, and there's so many ways to manage and respond to and be with our emotions. I just wanted to bring it up right away because often it's not part of the conversation and it's all just like, let's go do this and here are your time management apps. And, you know, the emotional life of the entrepreneur and the artist is a vital piece to making it all work. So don't disown your heart.
It's probably a good point to bring up too is that, you know, I love evangelizing meditation and I'm going to do it in this presentation like every one of my presentations. However, it's important to point out that a lot of times things get worse before it gets better. When you start unlocking deeper channels of perception and sitting with yourself in silence, it's kind of like getting sober after years of drinking. Shit bubbles up, some of it good, some of it not so good, and it has to go somewhere. So again, it takes a lot of perspective and compassion to kind of work through that. You know, it's really hard to go back to meditating by yourself after you're meditating with, you know, 100 other gorgeous, inspired people at 6 a.m. So Cynthia, you talked about transition points. How does that tie to, just to kind of bring people up to speed who may have not heard you speak about this before, but how does that tie to, you know, creative practice and cultivating creativity? You know, where do you get all of your kind of experience around those transition points?
Yeah, transitions, it's something I've coached people on for years. It's one of the most popular articles I've ever written, how to transition from one thing to another. Mm-hmm. It's a big issue for creative people in a lot of ways. One is we're afraid if we go into the zone, we won't be able to come back out. And then also, how do we get into the zone? And so I always talk about rituals, creating little rituals to go in and out, managing the mental churn, the resistance, the inner critic that tries to stop us, managing our time so that we maybe, one of the cool things about Insight Timer is you can set a timer at intervals. So there's four or five minutes are up. It fits for me. That's a great thing to do for you when you go into your creative time, because what really hurts creative people when they're writing or they're in the zone and then they're like so happy and they're blissed out and then they look up and they're like, shit, it's 3 o'clock, I've got to go get the kids. And then they're at the door and they're like immediately like from bliss to stress and not any time in between. And that is actually really painful and has a detrimental effect on your desire to go back into the creative zone, your ability to be present in any of those roles you play.
Yeah.
So being mindful of the roles you play, being mindful of your graceful entry in and out of different roles that you play. Often I'll suggest stopping before you enter one role. So if you're coming home from work, instead of going straight from work to home, pull over, spend 15 minutes in your journal or meditating or whatever practices you have to kind of ground into your essence of who you are outside your roles.
Yeah.
Same with transitioning back from a big event like camp. I don't know about any of you, but I came home with about 5 major new projects that I wanted to do, all these great ideas, all these things to do. And I also had been on a 5-week sabbatical traveling around Europe, so I had a ton of stuff to unpack and unload. One of the main problems that creative people have is a sense of urgency. When we get these ideas, we get so
love
excited.
This, yeah.
I don't want to do it right now, and everything's happening right now.
I've never had that problem. I've never been impulsive.
It's good. It feels good, but then we just fry out like like a shrimp on the Barbie. And so we don't want that. Do you want me to show my tools that I recommend?
Yeah, show a couple of the tools. Who wants to see tools? I do.
So I'm a big fan of the mind map. And I had this idea about mind mapping your plate. You know how people say, oh, I have so much on my plate. All of the things that we've got going on in our heads and our lives are often floating around up here. Maybe we have a project management software or something like that. But I found that until we kind of see it in a visible, contained space, it's really hard to get a grip on what we've got going on. So what I like to do is take a mind map, and mind map is where you take the main core idea and put it in the middle. So what I do is I mind map the month. So this is October, and these are the major things that I already have going on. I'm relaunching my website, I've got a couple of presentations, I've got a class I'm running. These are 2 major presentations I've got to get ready for, presentations, relaunch, and the class. So when I think about what I want to add, like I want to write 2 more books, I want to start going podcasting, I want to do all this stuff, first, I just get a grip on what am I doing next month. And then you can see I've already jumped ahead. Like, what did I do? What about September? So I went back and did one for September. This is what
I'm
at here. I've got a bunch of admin stuff to do, getting back from my trip. Doing a trip recap. So starting, you can do that on a monthly basis, you can do that on a weekly basis, you can do it on a daily basis. But once I put that down for October, I felt, oh, okay, this is what I've already got going on, this is what I'm already committed to. And you can see, do it on a small page like this, because there's not a lot of room for more.
Right.
So then, because I love all the ideas and all the excitement and potentiality, creative people love living in the realm of potential and possibility. That's why these kind of weekends are so thrilling for us. I wrote down all the possible projects that I want to do. I want to make a bunch of videos for Original Impulse. I want to get my CynthiaMorrisArtsite.com. I want to illustrate a new book. I want to write a novel in November. I want to write a Claim Your Authority book. I'm doing podcasting. So you can see those are all major projects that both serve my creative life and my business life. So how do I decide what to do in that regard?
It sounds like there's something helpful about just getting them out there, not committing to them yet, but just getting them out there. So know that they're inventory, know that they're documented. They're not going in. Nobody's going to steal them from you. However, not diving straight into them. So you're going to get lost in it.
Yeah, and so thinking about things as potential or possible, and you don't have to do anything, you can just savor the idea of it. And often you might need a few days, I've got home on Monday, so I've had a few days to just savor the possibility of these. And as I noticed myself thinking about all of them, because my place is a wreck with all the stuff that I've brought home, it's a little bit chaotic here, I still don't have any real filter to figure out which of these projects to commit to. So in my mind, I don't have to decide on any of this until October. I would want the same thing for all of you, unless there's some major triggers that you need to pull right away. You don't have to make any big decisions now. Mm-hmm. Just let it all, put it on the back burner, let it simmer. If you do want to go with a little bit more project planning in terms of getting some more information and data about how to decide which projects to follow through on, what I would do next is each project gets its own page, its own mind map.
Yeah.
You put the project in the middle and then just start mind mapping all the elements of it. We're looking to get all of the pieces out on the table. What will this take in terms of time, money, support? Who will I need to hire? What will I need to do? And then it's pretty super clear right away whether you have what it takes in terms of bandwidth and resources to do that now or in this next quarter, or whether that's something that you plan for in 2015. If you can't, or beyond, if you can't see planning for it, if it's so like, oh, I've got to do it now, I've got to do it now, pay attention to that, because that could be like a sugar candy bomb where you're all like, this tastes so good, I'm sucking on my sucker. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, you're crashing with overwhelm.
A lot of, just really quick, a lot of positive feedback on that. Lisa Concilio Ryan, Celia Slater were really grateful that you shared that process. Personally, I'm grateful you shared the process because I'm not a list maker. I don't like linear things whatsoever. That's overwhelming. So to think of a visual, what fun way to do it. It makes me want to paint like a whole wall in here, just like dry erase and just start mind mapping. It'd be fun.
It is fun. And it's easy to do. You can do that quickly. I mean, you can mind map your plate for the month. You can mind map the project. You can do all of those things within a 5, 10, 15 minute period of time. And that makes it super easy to just kind of get it out and see what's possible.
You know, it's funny too, because I think where I was experiencing a lot of shock this week, like maybe some people were, was that because of my role at camp, I didn't have to really worry about transition. Like my only transition, and you saw my room at the end of the weekend, was like running in my room, wardrobe change, and it's like, and then back out. There was no time to think. It was total kind of flow type of thing. What's exhilarating about that? Well, you don't have to belabor decisions. You don't have to inventory, like, is it time? It's always time. So you just keep going, going, going. And then when I'm back home, back with very standard issue problems, how do we feed all these children? How do we get them all to three different schools? How do we, you know, who's going to feed this dog today? It becomes a real strong question about allocating your energy and your time. Not that I'm going to mind map whether I'm going to feed my kids or not. When it comes to my work, I just kind of keep all of that kind of sequestered in one place up in my office. And when I come back up here every day, I look around and I'm like, okay, what needs done first? But getting those kind of buckets organized into projects, separate mind maps, that's really huge because they typically tend to operate in just one big, not from like Christmas Vacation movie, it's like one big boula. So thanks for that tip.
Another thing, when you come home, as you mentioned, you didn't get a lot of sleep. When we go on trips like this, just because we can get on a plane and be on the other side of the world within a matter of hours is normal, doesn't mean it's actually normal to our bodies. And being very cold at camp, eating the food you're used to, really whacks us out. So I find that one way to get grounded and get really focused and get really attuned to who you are is let the body lead. When you're tired and you just can't think anymore, and even though it's 2 o'clock and you should be working until 5, just stop. I always find that the body leads me to the right place all the time.
I love that.
The trick is listening and paying attention. And so aside from all the advice that we're giving or tools or strategies or anything, your body is your greatest source of wisdom. It's always right there with you, and it's always right on. And if you could learn to listen and follow its guidance, that's the only guru you need, really.
That's great. I definitely noticed that some major fatigue sets in around 8 o'clock p.m. each night, and I usually just kind of find my way up to bed and peace out at some point. Definitely annoying for my wife, who wants to talk to me at that point once the kids are finally in bed. But she understands that I'm kind of recuperating. So that's one way that we create space around ourselves is to honor the body, listen to what it's telling us. I'm still up at 5:30 in the morning to get my big meditation in because that's really the only time I can do it. And that's invigorating and all those things. But usually by the end of the day, at least this week, I'm really dragging ass where I'm not used to it. And I have to honor that and I have to work around it. If I keep plowing through, I'm just going to keep cranking out substandard work because my brain or my soul is not fully in it.
You bring up a really good point, is communicating with the people at home, and yeah. They want and need something, and you want and need something. So just that example with Gail, I'm looking at what are ways that you can both get your needs met. She wants to connect. You need to relax. You need to just rest your body. There's ways that you can do that together, you know, even sitting with your backs to each other, or sitting just looking in each other's eyes, or cuddling, or, you know, anything in that vein. That's just simple ways to bring yourselves back together. Like, we are here together. We don't have to talk and download everything verbally. We can just reconnect physically.
I came back so wired, I wanted to tell her every single thing, like do the minute by minute, play by play. And I don't know if you've had this problem. Have you tried to explain to another human being who wasn't at camp, Cynthia, what camp was all about? They get it, but they don't really get it.
Yeah, you don't really want to go fire hose on anybody because
really?
No one wants to be the end of the fire hose except the burning building. I actually wrote one of my ebooks is about this very subject. It's called The Graceful Return, How to Make Relish Any Journey, and it's available on Amazon as a Kindle download. But I wrote this when I came back from my year as a nomad in Europe because I found it was so surreal to have come home from this incredibly profound experience and to be back, and nobody really asked about it. And it was like, how was your trip? And it was like, and then it would be over. I couldn't even get it
in
how it was. And it leaves you just kind of hanging with all these extremely deep and real and meaningful life-changing experiences that you've just had, and no way to process them for yourself and no way to share them. So I wrote this ebook as a way to help people do that using a lot of the creativity tools and art-making tools that I share in Capture the Wow. So if that's something that would be useful, it's on Amazon. I think it's like $3 or something.
Yeah, what's it called again?
The Graceful Return.
The Graceful Return by Cynthia Morris?
That's right.
That's kick ass. Where the hell were you on Monday with this ebook, Cynthia? Like, I'm sitting there totally circling the drain and I can't, you know, get my footing. And I didn't know you even had an ebook on the topic.
Where was I on Monday? I was on a plane, and guess what I was reading? The plane was 4 hours long, which I was not happy about. But luckily I had the Happiness of Pursuit. I read Chris Gilbo's entire book. Like, that was a power bomb with GLP camp and then that book, and I came home and I'm just like, blah.
Yeah.
And then I went to the store immediately to get my green materials for my green smoothies. So that's where I was, honey.
Okay. Good. I just need a little bit more support from you, just friend to friend, you know? Let me know if you have an ebook on something I need in the future, okay? Anne Somaliev, I want to share your comment here. This whole discussion is important, and I'm actually finding that before camp, we were disconnected. When I came back wanting to just hold my family close to me, so she found reentry so much more beautiful than it is in the past. The meditation has helped that. Anne Somaliev meditating with her child, with her daughter. Oh, I love hearing that, and I'm jealous. I want to do that more often. I've seen that somewhere else. Somebody else I saw in the group was meditating with her child, and it's just so beautiful to me. I've had all these spiritual experiences over the summer. Cynthia, I've told you about some of these, about going to convocation for Self-Realization Fellowship, working with monks, meditating with 4,000 other devotees. And I can describe it to people, and I could, you know, assign stats to it so they get like a picture of what it feels like for me. But it's really, I become increasingly at a loss to share these experiences with people. And part of it is sad, but part of it is a beautiful thing just to smile a little bit wider and internalize it and say, that was special. I don't need to go back there. Again, another beautiful thing about meditation is that at some point you get to this place where you could take everything that happened on a given day, if you meditate in the evening or the day before, if you're meditating in the morning, and say, good, bad, fugly, all of it, control, alt, delete. I'm who I am now. I'm now. So the memories are beautiful, and I have a hard time peeling my face off of the camp Facebook wall because I just want to relive every morsel of awesomeness and just rub my face on the screen. I love it.
Well, you know, Anne was talking about feeling connected before and then during and after, and I feel like so much more connected to everybody seeing who you are in person was a great way to now
yeah.
be able to see the work you do, like Heather, who took those amazing photos, and going to her website and going, oh, okay, this is what...
Heather Krikora, that was the most bomb-ass slideshow visual storytelling I have ever seen. I watched it 4 times in a row. Mel leaked it to me because I bugged her into doing so first. Amazing, amazing stuff. Don't you just want to show that to everybody you know, though, Cynthia?
I loved it because it helped me feel omniscient. It helped me see all the things that I missed.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Speaking of missing and FOMO, I went to a conference last year and I was starting to feel FOMO. And was I going to have...
Do people know what FOMO is, and do they understand what debilitating FOMO you and I suffer from? It's called fear of missing out. It's a real condition. Our friend Karen Wright has a debilitating case of it as well. FOMO's legit.
I'm no longer debilitated by it, because when I went to this conference, I plugged into it, and then because I'm learning to recover more quickly, I just said, why don't we just set an intention? Why don't we make a prayer? And my prayer was, I'm always in the right place at the right time with the right people all the time. And once I did that, it happened. Someone's like, hey, do you want to come for dinner? Yes. Hey, come sit by me. Yes. Hey, Cynthia. And it was like, I didn't have to control or be in charge or make anything happen.
Right.
So,
or lament that you missed out on something. Like there are people that were there. Rick Clemens, George, please tell Rick that I miss seeing his beautiful pedicure up close because we didn't happen to orbit this weekend. But there's other people where everywhere you go, you're in the same vibrational orbit or something. It's just like, wow, there's Red again. Come over here, Red. There's my homeboy, Greg Bergs, again. But I don't ever get to see and get my paws on him in person. So, of course, I'm going to maximize it. You too, Cynthia. I see you fucking everywhere. I'm like, can't you go away for 5 minutes? But then there's other people where I see pictures of them this week, and I'm like, they went to camp?
Yeah, that's some weird quantum physics. We can't go into that here and now. But I'm laughing so hard because the second day of Color Wars, and it was all rainy and cold, and I just went to my room, and I was having like a little private friend bestie moment with one of my friends, and I just thought everybody was doing that, because that's what an introvert does when it's cold and rainy. You just kind of go and tuck in with some tea and a friend. And
Repeat that prayer for us really quick, just so people get it. Here's the prayer.
I'm always in the right place at the right time with the right people, doing the right thing. I mean, it's such a relief when you can really just tap into that and trust that. It's a huge relief. So please try it and use it even for like the Facebook group or anything. Like, you know, I trust that I'm always right where I need to be. And a lot of that starts with just your practices, your mental, physical, emotional, spiritual care that you do with whatever, whether that's sitting meditation or walking meditation. I wanted to really talk about journaling too. This is my written journal, my personal journal that
I got my right here.
And even when I came home, I couldn't sit down and write. Even what I do is I do a 15-minute minimum writing, and I couldn't even do that. So if you're journaling and it's just like scattered thoughts, like quick little dashes or lists, I did the listing on the plane, just quick captures. Remember the capture the wow stuff is about just quickly capturing things. You don't have to like drill down until you feel like you are settled enough to sit and drill down a little more.
I love that. Deborah Williams just shared, I saw my doctor today and he knew immediately I was wired up, and he cautioned me to do self-care first. You have a good doctor, not take drugs first. Self-care first, ideas, projects, activities later.
That's perfect. Beautiful. That's perfect.
That's a keeper.
Yep. I was in the bubble bath yesterday with the massage follow-up. Felt great.
Yeah. When I was reacclimating to work life, as I may have shared with some people, I had a very, very intense few days of work, central work, before I came to camp. Camp was what it was. It didn't feel like work, but work must have gotten done because I could feel it in my entire body. And then reintegrating into Centro, it's kind of like your prayer, whereas I could sit and lament and feel guilty or scared about my interactions with people when I see them, if they thought that I was out like having too much fun or flaking on something or not coming through. Or I could just trust that when we cross orbit again and we pick up where we left off, it's a good exchange. I don't get nervous anymore when the phone rings like I used to when I was sitting in kind of the wrong seat on the bus. And what's the first question out of all their mouth? Dude, how was camp? The photos looked ridiculous. Like, it could be our CEO, our chief marketing officer, head of sales, whatever. The first question, they're not like, Chris, I'm freaking out about revenue and blah, blah, blah. They're like, how was camp? So what did we learn so far? Transitions are key. Honor your transitions, honor your body, honor who you're with and the reason behind it, and be comfortable with that. And don't expect to do far too much too soon. We're not going to be able to come back from an event like that and put all of it into practice right away. That's impossible. I mean, good luck, but I don't see it happening.
So even if, like, you're thinking, I love what Christine did, she immediately set herself up for these new practices, and that's great. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just one thing, like on Monday morning I was meditating and I looked down, the timer went off, and I said, today's the day, 2 minutes more. So I bumped it up to 20 minutes. That, you know, is simple, it's small, it's measurable, I can do that daily, there probably will be an impact. But it's not like, get started writing those two books that you want to write. It's just gentle. Be gentle.
Well, can you talk about that a little bit? Because when we met a few years ago, you weren't a real avid meditator, right?
I was not sitting and meditating at all.
Can you talk about how the practice, and you're up to what? You're increasing to what, 20 minutes now?
I was in the Good Life Project immersion with you, which started in March, and it wasn't until November 6th was when I started sitting, and it's because I was talking to another one of our Good Life Project people, Kelly Newsom, mm-hmm. and she framed it as a stillness practice, and that worked for me. So often it's all about the frame that works for you, and so I started with 5 minutes in the morning, first thing. And then I bumped it up after several, and with no agenda. I wasn't trying to calm my mind or still my mm-hmm. mind or be perfect. I just sit down and shut up was kind of how I see it and open up. And then after several months, I bumped it up to 10 minutes and then 15. And then you just challenged us earlier this year in the spring to increase it 20%, which was 3 more minutes. So those incremental changes. And also with very low expectation or demand on what was going to happen within those minutes. If I'm lucky, I have maybe 1 minute of clear screen, clear sky. I'll just admit it. I'm not mm-hmm. in the Zen zone.
It's very normal.
But what I find is the self-respect that I have generated and the self-trust that I have cultivated by showing up every single day is bigger than any benefit that I could imagine, because I know that I take my obligations and self-commitments to heart and honor them. So that's really, to me, the big thing. Like, don't commit to some big thing that you're going to flake out on because it's too much for you to take. Commit to small things and build that self-trust and self-respect so that you can have these little victories on a daily basis.
I love that. So what I took away from that is that it's kind of like the first victory that leads to other smaller victories throughout the day because you shut up for yourself. It creates space for you where there's no shortage of massive projects looming and exploding and multiplying like gremlins all the time. However, it creates the discernment and the space to be able to choose wisely when your butt does hit your desk chair. I've just wanted to say, like, personally, I've noticed a big transformation for you just in the few years that I've known you. I wouldn't say that meditation is all of it, but I know that it's kind of a key part of your arsenal now that you speak really openly about. And I appreciate you sharing your experience with that.
Well, one of the big things that it's helped me do, Brad Feld wrote about this with his wife in the book Startup Life, having any kind of practice in the morning that's gentle and slow instead of immediately jumping to the coffee and the computer helps just put the whole day into perspective. Like, you're not so urgent. It's not so important. No matter who you are, starting the day with calm and intention is so much kinder than starting with this kind of urgency and I've got to get to everything. Yeah. That, to me, is one of the biggest impacts, and because I'm pretty dedicated to the sitting practice now, I expect more boons to roll in over time when I do finally clear my mind for longer than a minute at a time.
So again, for the people that made it to meditation this weekend, I totally applaud you. It's truly a gift for me to open my eyes once in a while and just be in the room with you, let alone be the only person facing all of you and seeing Cynthia like there right in the center of it, thinking that, you know, these are the things I dream about when I'm back here meditating by myself in Akron. And the fact that all of us on such a busy, crazy-ass, no sleep, intense weekend, full of uncertainty of things we've never done before, would make an effort to show up at 6 in the morning to sit in silence with some other people. And one of those things that sticks with me, like probably the most out of the whole weekend, and I get chills when I think about it, is the resonance of our collective om together. It just kind of reverberates up and down my spine and through my body. And whenever I feel hungry, angry, lonely, tired, scared, freaked out about work, whatever, I try to take myself back to that place. It's like an anchor point.
It meant so much to me to see so many people showing up at 6 a.m. I was truly blown away.
Jonathan was really blown away. Jonathan's like, this is the biggest group you've ever done, right? And I said, yeah. I go lead these in, you know, corporate environments. And of course, there's not going to be 150 that show up to do it in the same time. But the good lifers, good people.
You know what's good.
It is good. All right, Miss Cynthia Morris, it's always a pleasure. I thank you for weighing in, dropping wisdom bombs on us. Don't forget to pick up Cynthia's ebook to help you on your way. Say it one more time because I could remember it.
The Graceful Return.
The Graceful Return. We're going to start our mind mapping. We're going to take care of ourselves and listen to our body. Always a pleasure, Cynthia. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chrissy. Love you.
I love you too.